And there's a certain point in a business or a marketing funnel stage when an email autoresponder is going to be a big win.
Welcome to the Brand Engine Podcast, where we use proven strategies, real-life case studies, and actionable tips to help you, the small business owner, take control of your website and build your brand online.
Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 28 of the Brand Engine Podcast. My name is Gerald Porschman, and I have the usual Mr. Barry Moore with us. Hey, Barry.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Hey, doing really well. We are recording this a little earlier than usual because when people are listening to this right now, I am guessing we are either in the air or we are somewhere in Peru, starting off on our wonderful race across Peru.
Well, hopefully, if everything goes to plan, this episode goes out on the 1st of October and we are sipping cervezas in Piura, Peru, awaiting the start of our huge, crazy adventure race across Peru. 3,500 kilometers, the entire length of Peru, in the world's worst vehicle, a moto taxi. So what we're doing that for is charity. We're trying to raise money for a charity called CoolEarth.org. And they help protect the rainforest and help protect the indigenous people of the rainforest from the greedy corporations coming in and clear-cutting the place. So I think it's a really good cause. You know, everyone talks about saving the rainforest, but we often forget that, hey, there are actually people who live there, and that's been their home for their entire lives and generations. And big companies are going in and clear-cutting that just for some quick gain. So don't forget about the human cost involved with the destruction of the rainforest as well.
Yeah, it's a great cause, and we'd love for you to support us. And right now, because it's the 1st of October, as you're listening to this, I am just ironing my tuxedo and getting it ready. Have you received your tuxedo?
As of recording of this, I have not. I've sent him a follow-up email saying, hey, where's my tuxedo? And if you don't know what we're talking about, people, jump on to – we'll try and get it, but jump onto our Facebook page or jump on to raceacrossperuforcharity.info. And jump over to the blog, and hopefully there'll be some pictures of us decked out in our tuxedos next to our our bitchin' moto taxi that we're going to be taking across Peru.
I wanted to start the race off in a Spider-Man outfit, but for some reason, we convinced ourselves that black and white tuxedos in a tuxedo was the way to go, and I'm pretty happy with my hot, sweaty uniform.
I think it's better than the Spider-Man uniform. I don't think spandex is your friend, Jerry.
Well, let's kick into this week's episode. This week we have John McIntyre, the autoresponder guy, who's going to be talking to us everything about, once you get all of those names and those lists on your database, how do we keep them warm and how do we keep them updated? So, Barry, you'll be talking to him as I'm away again doing some seminars.
Yeah, John McIntyre is the dude we want to listen to when we think about how we're going to use email to market our business. So, you know, everyone wants more traffic to your website, but let's not forget the people we already have on our email list. That's the whole point of the website, is to get people onto our email list so we can continue the conversation. And John and I are going to talk about good ways to continue that conversation, bad ways to continue that conversation, and how you can get started with autoresponders. So let's have a listen. So joining me on this week's episode is John McIntyre, also known as the autoresponder guy. John runs a website and a podcast over at themcmethod.com, where he focuses exclusively on email marketing, copywriting, and autoresponders. So John's a guy who lives and breathes email marketing and autoresponders all day, every day. So who better to talk to about email marketing and what it can do for your brand than John? Hey, John, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Barry. It's good to be on the show.
And you're sitting back in Thailand enjoying the tropical lifestyle, is that right?
Yeah, I'm sitting, you know, on the beach right now with a coconut in front of me and a nice Thai girl and looking at the beach. No. I'm in my apartment. I'm up in Chiang Mai. It's about an hour north of Bangkok on the plane. And I've just set myself up with an office. I bought a desk and a nice, a big monitor for my laptop. So I'm trying to get my apartment set up as a bit of a battle station to build my business. So got a big whiteboard on the wall. I'm just, yeah.
Fantastic. I love that kind of entrepreneurial lifestyle where you can just go anywhere you want, live anywhere you want.
Yep.
And still carry on your business. That's the dream, isn't it?
I love it.
How long have you been doing that for?
I've been in Thailand for 2 years now. But before that, I ended up in the Philippines for a year doing sort of an internship for a resort there. And the idea was while I was there, I'd set up my own business, which took a little longer than expected. But after a year, I was making enough money to take off and go on my own. So I came to Thailand, and I've been here ever since. That was October 2012. So,
very cool, very cool. So just before we get into the email marketing bit, you know, this is the Brand Engine podcast, and we're all about branding and building your brand. So tell us how you became the quote-unquote autoresponder guy.
Autoresponder guy. That was sort of like it was a bit unintentional in the sense that like just a positioning statement or a USP. But how it happened was when I was back in the Philippines, I tried a few different business ideas. You know, I was doing this resort work for 1 or 2 days a week and also trying to get my own thing going. And I tried, you know, got myself banned from Google AdWords, and I tried to launch a dating site with a friend, and that didn't work either. But eventually, you know, I was trying to sell an ebook, sort of a weight loss ebook on a website that I had. And I realized that changing, you know, a few words in the headline changed the way people thought about the product and they started buying it. So then I discovered copywriting, which is obviously just, you know, salesmen, they call it salesmanship in print, basically persuading people with words to do stuff. So I started getting into copywriting, and that led to doing an autoresponder. So one of the guys I met in the Philippines needed, he wanted to have a series of emails because he had an email list, right? He had people signing out to his email list. He had a couple thousand people on there, but he never emailed them because like most entrepreneurs, he was really lazy. He was well, busy or lazy or both. He just didn't want to do it. He didn't even want to think about it. So here's that I'm writing, learning how to write copies, $400 and you can write me 10 emails. So we did that. It worked really well. He started getting more, you know, email options on his site. So it was a big win. And then we did a podcast on it. This guy has a decent sized audience, a podcast just like this, talked about email marketing, talked about what I did for him, and then made an offer at the end saying, if you want to get the same thing, go, you know, go to my website and send me an email. And from there, I guess initially I was doing a few sales letters, a few autoresponders, you know, a series of emails that it would send out to people just for different clients. And that's probably six to eight or nine months later, I realized that I was going through some marketing training and I realized that I didn't have a USP. And that's a big, big, big problem because I realized that I was just a copywriter among probably tens of thousands of other copywriters trying to make money and trying to be a consultant and all that crap. So I realized that the main thing that I'd been doing was email and email autoresponders. So I was like, well, I'm going to call myself the autoresponder guy. No one else is calling themselves that. So if I just do it, everyone else will start calling me that. And it'll be, you know, happy days.
Fair enough. And it's, you know, it's worked, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. I it makes me laugh sometimes because I'm like, people call me the autoresponder guy. And it's really me. I just sort of got up one day and every podcast I did and every email, it was always the autoresponder guy this, the autoresponder guy that. And now everyone else calls me that as well. It's funny how I started it. So it's kind of like people think that, yeah, that has to happen organically.
Yeah, for sure. Or
and it sort of does. But at the same time, like you've got to get to a point where you stake a claim on the ground and say, this is who I am, this is what I do.
That's right. You know, everyone's after that 10-second elevator pitch, so that one only takes 2 seconds. I'm the autoresponder guy. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So, you know, as we say here, if you don't have a personal brand, someone else is going to give you one, so you might as well give yourself one.
That's right. That's right. I like it.
So recently, John, we've been doing a series of podcasts on how to drive traffic to your website, but sometimes I think people get too focused on grabbing new traffic and they totally forget about the audience that they already have and the people on their email list or even gathering an email list. And that those people can become repeat traffic if you treat them right. So today I wanted to talk about how we do that, how we treat people right, how we gather email addresses and why it's important to gather them in the first place and then not neglect them once you have them. I also come across a lot of people who feel that, oh, you know, I don't want to be that spammy person that's sending out emails to people all the time. What would you say to that?
I would say that, what do you prefer? Do you prefer to like please the sort of the tire kickers who don't like getting emails from you, or do you prefer to make money? Because like the people who have the problem, like, you know, obviously everyone who's in business sells a product or a service that solves a problem. And the people who have that problem would be glad to hear from you more often because then they'd know where to get their problem solved.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's they want to lose weight or they need a plumber or it could be anything. If my tap had broken and my, you know, water flooding all throughout my house, I would, you know, if I had an email right then from a plumber, I'd be like, genius, I'm going to give this guy a call. So it's people have to get to a point where they're comfortable selling what they have. And they need to, you know, if you can't sell and if you can't get comfortable with it, you really shouldn't be in business. But I mean, I'm not saying, you know, people shouldn't, if they can't sell, they should just go out of business. What they should do is learn or realize that that they're really doing people a favor when they're selling to them, whether it's with emails or advertising or anything. And emails is just it's just a communications medium. It's nothing special. It's not spammy just because it's email or anything. It's you just take someone's email address and then you send them relevant information that they enjoy. And it's funny, actually. I'll tell a quick story. One thing that I've had a few times now, I mean, one guy signed up to my list back in October, and I send a lot of emails. If you sign up, you get an email a day for at least 2.5 months, sometimes a day. And so I sent a lot of emails. And when he first signed up, he used to reply to my emails telling me that I was sending too many emails, that I wasn't giving away enough good information, that I wasn't being helpful, that I was just sort of being spammy, like all this stuff that people are worried about. And thinking, oh, whatever, you can unsubscribe if you want. But now he's joined my membership community. He's been in there for at least, well, he's been in there longer than anyone else. He was the first guy to sign up when I offered it. And he's in there, he's active. He's gone from like pissed off to, you know, one of my, you know, best customers or best supporters.
Yeah, I love that. You sending me too much stuff on your list that I can get off of anytime I want.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. You don't want to stick, you don't like it, get off.
Yeah, exactly right. Which is a great filtering mechanism, right? So if you're selling a product and a service, and I think if you think it through in your head, there's six billion plus people in the world. Not all those 6 billion people aren't going to want your product, right? So there's got to be some sort of filtering mechanism to separate the people who do want it from the people who don't want it. And if that's a couple emails and people say, look, I don't like your stuff, and they so unsubscribe, well, fantastic. Then, you know, just like you said, you don't have tire kickers and hangers on hanging around sucking your time. And now you're focused on the people who have filtered themselves through to your message and actually want to hear from you. So that's a good mindset as well. Yeah, I think people also follow that mindset where they think there's only two settings, like either I'm the douchey spam guy or I've got to take the high road and not sell anything and I'm the poor guy and they don't realize that there's kind of a middle road there
I think one thing that this is a bit of a personality thing, but you've really got to, like, you're going to do anything good or worthwhile in life, you're going to piss people off. And so I think obviously some people are a bit more, you know, they're a bit more of a tender kind of soul and it's not really their style, they don't want to grate on anyone. But I think if you're going to go out, especially business is business, you've got to develop a thick skin. You're going to be prepared for people to tell you off and say you're not doing it right and that you should be doing it. Like, just, you've got to get used to that. And the sooner you get used to that, the sooner you start making, because you can't be emotional in business. You can't be like, well, I don't want to do this because it makes me feel funny. The real question is, what's the most effective way to achieve this goal, regardless of how you feel about it?
Yeah, for sure. And certainly I think email can be that effective way, because if you think about your own day, how often or how much time in a day do you spend inside your inbox? That's where you spend a good portion of your day, unless you're really disciplined about it. You spend a good portion of your day in there, and that's where your thinking's going on. That's where your communication's going on. And like you said, you know, the email, it's a conversation. If you have an offline client, you know, if you're a services business or something and you're trying to sell somebody offline, well, the more you sit down with them and have a coffee or at a cafe or catch up with them when you're out and about and you talk to them and continue to carry on that conversation, the more familiar they're going to be with you and the more they're going to want to do business with you. So email is just basically a similar substitute to just carrying on a conversation with your customer.
Exactly.
So, John, I would gather that a lot of the listeners here probably aren't familiar with, like, exactly what an autoresponder is. So if you're the autoresponder guy, maybe you can help us out. So they're probably familiar with, you know, the standard boring monthly newsletter that most people send out, not monthly at all, very irregularly, if at all. And it's been done to death and I don't really think it's terribly effective. So what other kind of things can you use email for, especially autoresponder?
I mean, an autoresponder really is just a series of emails that go out automatically. So you sign up to a newsletter where you sign up on someone's website. They send you an email every however long, maybe every week, every 2 months, every, you know, it doesn't really matter the time period, but it just happens automatically. So that's basically an autoresponder. As for what you can do with it, I mean, a lot depends on sort of what industry you're in, what the context is, what the market is. But what I do and what works well for me and my clients and customers is telling a lot of stories in a sense, but basically a short email, 200 to 300 words, say something interesting or engaging. Like in one email, I tell a story about Abraham Lincoln, who was obviously an American president, but he failed for 20, 30, just failed on so many different things. So many things in his life went wrong, and then obviously became the president of the United States. And then I say, well, that's just like email marketing. You've got to fail a bit to be successful. But if you want to shorten the learning curve and make less failures to get there, well, that's where my product comes in, McMaster's or whatever. Sign up and you'll learn how to shorten that learning curve so you don't make as many mistakes as Abraham Lincoln did on his way to becoming president. So really it's just say something cool, be interesting, helpful, inspiring, and then transition into a pitch. That's basically what I do. I do it every day, and that's pretty much the whole thing. Occasionally I'll send out, you might call it a value or just a content email where I say I have a podcast that I do. So I might just it's an email that basically teases people about the podcast and then tells them to go listen to it. So I see every email as it has to have a call to action, has to push someone to go and do something, to read an article, to buy a product from me, to give me a call, to reply to the email, to do something. And so then it's just a case of, say something interesting to get their attention and then lead into a pitch of some kind or an action of some kind.
Having done this quite a lot, do you find there's a golden ratio between content and pitch, or
no?
It just depends on the audience, or
well, it depends. Yeah, it depends. Like it depends on a lot of things. Like if you've got, it really depends on what the state of awareness someone is in your market. If they've never heard of you and they've never heard of the problem that they supposedly have, then you're going to need to do a bit of education before you can make a sale. Whereas if you've got someone who's, say you had the cure to cancer, and he just got a cancer diagnosis and he signed up to your list. I mean, you could sell that thing to him on day one.
Yeah.
You probably don't even need to get him onto your email list for something like that, because it's so urgent and it's so what he needs. And assuming that he knows that the product works. So, I mean, then you've got lead cycles. So within any business, you might have like a sort of maybe just a lead. Let's just call someone a lead if they sign up to your list.
Yeah.
But then when they click a link or they reply to an email or they visit a certain page on your website, they become a prospect. They sort of move up and get a bit warmer, and then you start treating them differently. Then you can be more aggressive. So, everything, a lot of what the ideal ratio and that sort of thing, that just depends on the context of who you're talking to and what stage in the buying cycle they're in.
Yeah, that's a brilliant point. No one's going to buy a product that they're not aware of. If they don't know it exists, they're not going to buy it.
That's right.
So in that state of awareness, you make a good point there that, it might be a very cold lead, someone who's never heard of you before, and they just all of a sudden they hit your website for whatever reason, and they go, oh, what's this about? And they warm them up. I mean, they join the email, and you want to warm them up.
That's right.
So is there a good time period to warm them up? Like, do you warm them up for a week or a month, or hit them every day, hit them once every 3 days, or?
Well, what I'm doing with my list right now is I've got ads running on Facebook to people who've never heard of me, so they sign up, and the first little bit, my goal is really just to get them. Yeah, my goal is really just to get them interested. First to believe in me and know who I am. And so that means, email one gives them a bit more information about what they're about to receive with their emails, and then tells them more about me. And then email two is more about me. And then email three. I haven't set this whole this up yet, because this is sort of refinements I've made to my own process recently. But the first few emails, I would say, are establishing me, sort of indoctrination, yeah. Positioning me as, an authority. But, I don't think you need to do more than a few, two or three of those initially. Yeah, so you do that, and then you obviously get into the pitching. So it has to be valuable. It has to be helpful at the same time. And then, this is one of the things, you never stop selling. So, you never stop positioning yourself as, the biggest badass on the planet. So, obviously you don't need to always do it. A lot of marketing is just about, mixing it up, being, having a constant pattern interrupt. Because as soon as people get used to what you're doing, they stop responding. So you do stuff about, do a few things about who you are and making yourself look like a badass, and then go into pitching, and then have another email that positions you as a badass, and then go back to pitching, and you just mix it up.
Yeah, for sure. So, before you were talking about making mistakes and learning from your mistakes, anyone stand out to you that you made early on that you've kind of make sure that you don't ever do again?
I think a big part is just being more aggressive. And well, we already talked about this, but most people, you know, they sell in, they just live their life. I think a lot of people live their life off the back foot. And especially when it comes to selling, and I don't mean this to be rude or anything or to be offensive, but a lot of people live, I mean, it's, you see it a lot with selling. When someone goes in, they try and sell a product. It's like, oh, I've got this. I mean, this product, and you know, I think you might be interested in it. Yeah. You know, like maybe you feel like you're a bit like stop being a dick, stop being nervous and weird like that. Just come out and say, look, you've got this problem. I've got the solution to it. Do you want to buy it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's, and I think that's like people have got to, you know, really have that attitude with, I mean, that's a mistake that I see people making with email, with just online marketing. Is that if you've got a product that someone's willing to buy, I mean, that really solves a legitimate problem in the marketplace, you need to sell the crap out of it. Like, yeah, you should be doing everything you can to sell it. So I think that's the biggest mistake people make.
Yeah, if you don't believe in it, then why are you selling it, number one? And number two, if you don't believe in it, then whoever you're trying to sell it to is going to see that in a second, and they're not going to believe in it either. So that's either right. Change your product or change your mindset, one or the other.
Yep.
So if somebody wants to get started with this, one of the other things I want to talk about is, you know, is using autoresponders for other kind of standard company processes that you might have that you might be doing some other way. Like, for example, new customer onboarding. You know, if you get a new customer and you want to, you know, onboard them into whatever process or whatever service that you're trying to sell them, autoresponders is probably a perfect thing for that as well. Yeah.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. I mean, you just remind me, I should really do this with my clients right now just to automate the whole thing. But yeah, pretty much. I mean, you can use anytime you, just automating the whole business using different processes like this. If you've got like a software as a service app, you can actually, you know, use software to track whether someone's filled out their profile. And if they haven't, you can then send them an email after 3 days saying, hey, you haven't filled out your profile, click here to, you know, finish it. And so there's it's called event tracked email,
yeah,
where you can trigger emails based on what people have done, haven't done on your website. So there's a lot of pretty cool stuff that you can do these days.
Yeah, yeah. I'm using, we're just moving, cutting all our stuff over to ActiveCampaign, and I love all their kind of event triggered sequences and stuff in there. It's pretty impressive for the price, for sure. So if somebody wants to get started in this, and somebody wants to get started with email marketing, what would be a good first step for them, do you think?
I mean, people need some sort of software. Email autoresponder software, obviously they need emails. I mean, as for software, you've got ActiveCampaign, which you just mentioned. I'm using Drip, which is a new one from a friend of mine, Rob Walling. There's, you know, if you want to spend more, so ActiveCampaign and Drip, you've got AWeber and MailChimp. Those are sort of more of the budget options. But if you want to, these days, I would actually advise them to stay away from AWeber or MailChimp, just because you will outgrow them pretty fast. If you're a savvy business person, they don't have much you can do aside from a basic, you know, email autoresponder. You can't, there's not, no advanced stuff, which gets pretty useful. So ActiveCampaign or Drip, there might be some other ones around to do it. I don't know any off the top of my head. Then you've got up to, you know, Entreport, which used to be Office Autopilot, Infusionsoft, and those ones, which are a bit more expensive. So you just need that, set that up on your site, set an opt-in form, you know, use their software or the script to set up an opt-in form on your website. And then make sure you add some emails based on, you know, some of the stuff we've been talking about here. Add some emails to the software so when people sign up, they hear from you. So, and that, I guess that answers, you got a question here. How do you get people onto your list?
Yeah.
That's where you take your website traffic and you set up, you know, a form in your sidebar or a pop-up that comes up. There's plenty of pop-up plugins out there that'll do it. Sure, ActiveCampaign, I know Drip does it. They come with a pop-up usually that you can use to put on your...
We're using lead pages in... you know, there's other stuff like Opt-in Monster and those kinds of things where you can just plug in for your website and it'll pop a form up, make it easy for people to sign up. I think one of the other kind of barriers of entry people think about is, you know, writing this stuff. They go, I've got to sit down and write these 10 emails. But obviously there's options there, but you can either do it yourself or you can outsource it to somebody like yourself. So why don't you tell us about kind of the services that are out there on offer for someone who maybe is a little bit challenged by writing this stuff?
I mean, there's a range. Obviously, at the top, you can write it yourself. The next step is probably templates, which I know I've been selling. I realized recently, actually, I've been running an advertising campaign on Facebook, and I'm finding that people respond are responding really well to templates. So I've got a lot of templates that I sell. Maybe there's ones out there. I haven't looked too hard for them. I haven't heard of many. After templates, you've got you're basically hiring someone, hiring a company, hiring someone like us to go, you know, take your sort of information based on your business and your prospects and what you're trying to do and write it. It's kind of like it's not doing like sort of. I mean, it depends. Like it's a bit of an interesting market in that sense. Like from service providers, you theoretically should be able to just go and get any copywriter to write this for you. But a lot of copywriters aren't really good at email, and the ones that are have all different ways of doing it. And like we work on like a 10 email, like a minimum, usually a minimum of 10 emails basis, and usually just emails. We don't go too much into the whole sales funnel, but that's, and again, that's changing. I mean, there are other people out there that just do, you know, email by email, and they charge like $30 an email, so they're quite cheap. Then you've got all the way up at marketing consultants who work with, you know, say $3 to $10 million companies, and they're charging, you know, $10,000 for, you know, 5 or 10 emails for a launch thing. So there's a interesting array of options based on what level you're at in terms of outsourcing it. But if you want to do it yourself, I mean, you can go pick up a program like any of the stuff that I sell. Andre Chaperone is another guy, Ben Sell. I guess it's not, the issue isn't so much can you learn or can you not learn. It's,
do you have the time to put into it? Yeah, for sure. And how did you get into copywriting initially?
Well, that was when I was in the Philippines and I had a juicing website and I was trying to sell an ebook. So fruit and vegetable juicing, I was trying to sell an ebook on how to lose weight with juicing, which is funny because I've never had to lose weight or never even needed to, you know, try and lose weight with juicing, but that just seemed to be what people were interested in. So I came up with a diet, a juice fast is what it's called, and then tried to sell it on the website, and no one was buying it because at first it was called 30 Juicing Recipes, and then I changed the title to Lose 10 Pounds in 2 Weeks because that was a keyword people were searching for on Google, and all of a sudden people started buying the product. So I realized that changing the words on the page can make the difference between making sales and crashing and burning. So after that, I was like, well, I got to learn more about this. And then discovered the whole world of copywriting and marketing and have been studying it, I suppose, ever since.
Yeah, I haven't really studied as much as I should have, but I know it can be pretty powerful. Like even just tweaking a few words, like you said, or a few titles and things, and bam, makes all the difference between crickets and money in your bank account.
Yep.
All right, John, we might wrap it up there. I don't want to take up too much of your time and take you away from that delicious Thai food up there in Chiang Mai. But one last thing there. What question do you think I should have asked that I didn't?
This is a good question. It's always really hard to answer. email's great, right? Email's a great idea. Let me go back. What's the question that you would have asked? Would have been like, what should people focus on?
Yeah.
I think is a good question. Because when I think about email's great. A lot of people come to me and they think they're going to write an autoresponder. They've heard about why email's so good, maybe on a podcast like this, and they're like, well, I've got to get an autoresponder. I mean, I better do that. But that's not always the case. And what I've realized in building my own business is that the goal or really the art of being an entrepreneur is really being good at identifying what matters and what doesn't. And there's a certain point in a business or a marketing funnel stage when an email autoresponder is going to be a big win. But I think a lot, like, I mean, not necessarily a lot of the time or even most of the time, but definitely sometimes people think that an autoresponder is going to solve their problem when really the issue of why they can't grow their business any bigger or why whatever is not because of email, even though they don't have it. It's somewhere else. Maybe they need more traffic. Maybe they need maybe they've got a good email, but they need to get better conversions or a better sales process or better employees or whatever. So one thing that I found helpful keeping in mind this year, and the question that you should have asked but didn't, is that people should, I think, really go for a walk, think long and hard about where in the business, in your own business right now, do you need to focus to make the biggest impact? And with that thought, you really need to go and check out a book like 80-20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall or Richard Cox. I don't know how to say his last name. Let's say it's Coach. Richard Coach's book on the 80-20 principle is the original one. So like that idea of just there's small tweaks in the business that you can make to have a huge impact. And it's really the goal to figure out what those are, not to just do emails or landing pages, sales pages, advertising, whatever the hot thing right now is.
Yeah, for sure. I've been doing that a lot in just in my business and just stripping away all the stuff that's more of a distraction than it is an asset, and just getting focusing down, like, you know, be that the quote unquote something guy, you know, like you said. So you were on originally copywriting, and then you decided to focus on one thing, autoresponders, and hey, boom, you know, all of a sudden you're the autoresponder guy everywhere, anytime somebody turns around. So absolutely strip away the stuff that's not working and just double down on the stuff that is working. All right, sir. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time today. And if people want to find out more about the autoresponder guy or copywriting or autoresponders, where can they get in touch with you?
They can go to The McMethod, www.themcmethod.com. That's got the podcast that I do. That's where you can go sign up for the thousands of daily emails that you're going to receive and learn more about me and all that sort of stuff. So,
fantastic. John, thanks. I appreciate your time. And we'll put all those links in the show notes, folks. Thanks, John. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon in Chiang Mai.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks for having me.
See ya. All right, really interesting interview there with John, and I think you can see autoresponders can be a pretty powerful thing for your business. You can use them for a number of different things, like onboarding new customers or just nurturing those customers you already have and keeping them warm with what's happening in your business and what's happening with your products and services. And the great thing about it is you can track it all down to the nth degree. We use a tool called ActiveCampaign. And you can find out more information about ActiveCampaign over at thebrandengine.com. Over on the right-hand side, you'll see a little ActiveCampaign training course link there, and you can get a discount on our ActiveCampaign training course. And you can get started setting up your own autoresponder sequences right away. Mm.
And we want to hear what you use for tracking, for responding to your clients on a ongoing basis. So as usual, jump onto iTunes and leave us your comments. And as usual, if you like, you can jump onto the website, thebrandengine.com, and just below the show notes, there'll be those comments there, and just whack in your comment. We'd love to hear from you, and we will read out your comments as they come to hand.
Absolutely, and that's going to all be over at the show notes for thebrandengine.com/episode 28. And once again, folks, we really need your help to meet our charity fundraising goal for Cool Earth. So if you head over to the show notes or head over to the Brand Engine, you'll see a contribution link there where you can donate to Cool Earth on behalf of the team and help us achieve our goal. We really do appreciate it.
Don't forget, folks, build your brand online. Thanks,
see you,
Barry.
See you next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Brand Engine podcast. You can find all the show notes, news, and upcoming events over at thebrandengine.com.